Our Bible reading this morning is in Luke's Gospel and chapter 24 at verse 13. Luke chapter 24 at verse 13. It's page 1061. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since this took place." In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they didn't see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As he approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen, and may God bless these words to us this morning. Jesus had just died on the cross. All the expectations of his followers were in tatters. It's clearly illustrated in the story of the two disciples going down the road to Emmaus. I want us to look at that story and see how it challenges us from their stance about where we are this morning in questions of faith. It's very clear right away that these disciples were blinded. As they walked along the road, they were inevitably talking about everything that had happened. All the distress of it, all the disappointment of it was in their hearts. And when that kind of thing happens, one of the things we have to do is talk, isn't it? We talk about it and we talk it over and we talk it over and over again. And that's what they were doing as they were going down that road. They were talking about it. When I had my heart attack in Taiwan 21 years ago, I bored people to death because every time I met somebody, I had to tell them all about it. That's what we do when things distress and happen. I came home finally and visited a friend in our church in Edinburgh. And he had just had a heart attack as well. But his was worse than mine. He'd been having his angiogram and his artery had burst and they had to do open heart surgery. Just right there on the spot. And it took him 45 minutes to tell us the story of that. And I'm ready at the end of it to tell mine, but he didn't ask. We have a need to talk when things are distressing us. And that's what was happening as they walked along that road. All their disappointment, all their disillusionment, all their despair was working itself out in that conversation. But as they had that conversation, what do we discover? We discover that Jesus comes to be with them. And that's surely a huge lesson for us this morning. Whenever there's a distress, a disappointment, a discouragement in our lives, you can be sure of this. Jesus will come alongside. It's one of the things he's good at. It's one of the things he promises, that he will come alongside us. And well, they were talking about him, weren't they? So it's quite understandable that Jesus would come alongside to see what they were saying. Just like he's here today to hear what I'm saying. Because whenever we're talking about Jesus, he's going to be listening in to hear what we've got to say. But surely, here's this amazing thing, that whenever we are upset, Jesus will be there for us, right beside us, there to help us. But they didn't recognize that. They didn't understand that at this point, and often we don't realize that he's actually there. They didn't recognize him because they were blinded to his resurrection. Now, I think there's three reasons we can detect as to why they were blinded to him at that moment. First of all, clearly, he was changed. He was resurrected. He wasn't exactly the same as he was before. His body was still there. His nails were still, prints were still in his hands. He could still, that these things could still be seen. He could still eat. He could still be touched. But he could go through walls. He could just disappear like that. So he wasn't just quite the same as he'd been. And maybe that didn't help them, as they didn't recognize him. But surely the more important reason they didn't recognize him was because unbelief had blinded them. It's a much more likely reason, isn't it? It's what Jesus challenges them on, isn't it? He says, why don't you believe? Why don't you believe? So upset that they couldn't believe that he was alive and would come alive again. Belief, unbelief, blinds us to the truth. It's when we decide to believe in Jesus, our eyes are opened. We see things we've never seen before. We come to an understanding of who he is and what he's done. But until we believe, we're not going to see what God has done. But there is a third reason. They were blind to the existence of Jesus that day. And it tells us in verse 16, you see, that they were kept from recognizing him. God stopped them from seeing that it was Jesus at that moment. We have to say, why did he do that? Is that not a daft thing to do? Wasn't it better that they saw that it was Jesus? Why did he keep them from seeing him at that moment? Well, I think we have to understand, don't we, that God's in control. God can do what he likes. God can choose when he reveals things to us. That's his prerogative. And surely we need to understand, we're never going to see anything about God unless God does move in our lives, unless God does open our eyes, unless God does help us see. So, but why did he not allow them to see right away? I think we can only conclude he did that because there were things that were going to be happening in this story that they needed to learn from. And there are things that are going to happen in this story that Christians down the years would need to learn from. And so God holds them back at this moment from seeing that it's Jesus who is there, because he's got other plans in mind. He's got other things he wants them to discover. Anyway, there's the first thing we need to understand about these disciples that morning. They were blinded to the existence of the living Jesus. Might be true for some of us this morning that we're still not truly seeing who Jesus is. But they weren't just blinded, they were also blinkered. Jesus doesn't take too long to join in the conversation. What are you talking about? He says. Are you daft? They say. Don't you know what's been happening in Jerusalem the last couple of days? Haven't you heard of all that's been going on? It's on everybody's lips. Everybody's talking about it. It's everywhere. How come you don't know anything about that? Well, tell me, he says. Tell me what it's all about. Now, it's in the reply that we see how they are still at this moment in their journey of faith, very blinkered in their understanding of who Jesus is. Who are you talking about? This he says. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, they say. This is disciples that have seen Jesus do amazing things and listen to all his teaching and all that. Who are you talking about? Jesus of Nazareth. The most human name for Jesus. If you want to put Jesus as low as you possibly can, you call him Jesus of Nazareth. A man, they're saying. Somebody who grew up in that town that's of no consequence. Jesus of Nazareth, they say. He was a prophet, they say. That's a wee bit better, isn't it? They're up in the thing a wee bit. He was a prophet, yes. He spoke clearly the words of God. And they put him in the category of Jeremiah and Isaiah and some of these others. He was a prophet. Well, even the Muslims say that Jesus is a prophet. But Jesus was more than a prophet, wasn't he? Who are you talking about? Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet. Oh, somebody who was powerful in his words and deeds, they say. Well, they'd heard him speak with special authority. They'd seen the power of some of the miracles. He was a healer. He was a man. He was a prophet. He was a healer. But he is actually more than that. How blinkered they are, aren't they? Still in their understanding of Jesus. The best they can say about Jesus when he asks, who are you talking about? Is that they say, well, he was possibly a redeemer. We'd hoped he would be the redeemer of Israel, they say. Now, it might be that they're still stuck in their political way of thinking, and they were hoping for a revolutionist who would lead them against the Romans. It's possible that they were thinking. But the word redeemer has a wee bit more meaning to it than that. It does indicate that maybe there was a wee bit spiritual thinking going on in their heads. The word redeemer means there was going to have to be a price paid for something. The word redeemer means that there were debts that needed to be cancelled. The word redeemer means that they needed to be set free from prison. So there were these kind of hopeful things buzzing around there in their heads. But, ach, we'd hoped he would be a redeemer. But, wasn't it really, you see? They're still so blinkered. Concept that Jesus is God. Concept that Jesus is the Son of God. The concept that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. The concept that Jesus would bring forgiveness into their lives. It's not quite there. There's just one last wee glimmer of hope. Because they then say, it's the third day. The 30. Why did they say that? Were they remembering that Jesus said on the third day he would rise from the dead? They're remembering it, kind of, but not with any real assurance yet. Yes, they were blinded and they were blinkered in their understanding of who Jesus is. Many people today have that limited understanding of who Jesus is. But they weren't just blinded or blinkered. We discover they were also bewildered. Because they go on to say, don't they? Well, you know what happened this morning? Some women went to the tomb and there was nothing there. Women. It was women that went to the tomb. And there was nothing there. What are you going to make out of that? Nothing, really. Just women, and we know what they're like, for goodness sake. You know. Oh, all right, the disciples went along and found as well there was nothing there, but, well, there's nothing there. They're bewildered by it. And Jesus says to them, why don't you believe? You've got the whole of the Bible, the whole Old Testament there, and it screams about me. Why haven't you believed any of it? Because you can read your Bible, and if there's no faith there, you'll not see anything in it. It'll be the most boring book in the world if there's no faith. That the moment you believe in Jesus, this book comes alive. It begins to speak to you. It feeds your faith. And so Jesus takes the opportunity. And it's the opportunity where every one of us wishes we were there. Where he begins at Genesis. And he works his way through the book. Telling them, that's me. That's about me. Do you remember God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden? That was me. Remember God said that Satan, that he would crush your head and Satan would strike the heel? That was me. Do you remember when the angel appeared to Abraham? That was me. Do you remember when the three friends were in the burning, fiery furnace and somebody went there to walk about with them, somebody like the Son of Man? That was me. And what would he have done with Isaiah 53, where every verse in that chapter shouts about Jesus? And so you could go on page after page of that book, all telling them about Jesus. Well, as they listened, they're still not getting it. They're bamboozled. They're bewildered by it all that morning. Blinded, blinkered, bewildered. But then, fortunately, at the end of the story, they are blown away by what they discover. When they got to the house, the story tells us that Jesus made to go on. And that's a hugely significant moment for them. And it's a hugely significant that comes to every one of us at various points in our lives. Because Jesus comes close and makes to move on. And at that moment, every one of us has to make a decision. Are we going to invite him in? Are we going to invite him into our lives? Are we going to invite him into our homes? Are we going to invite him into our marriages? Are we going to invite him into our offices or our workplace? Comes a moment when we have to make that decision. Are we going to invite Jesus in? They decided, fortunately, to invite Jesus in. Because they invited Jesus in, they have their blown away moment coming up. They invite Jesus in. Have you invited Jesus into every area of your life these days. There comes that moment when we have to make that decision. And so having invited him in, they sat down to have a simple meal. And the story tells us, and this is surely the main reason God delayed these men from seeing who Jesus is. It was as they sat down, and Jesus picked up the bread and he broke it. And it was in the very breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened and they saw it was Jesus. Now they hadn't been there at the Last Supper. So it must have been other times where they'd had meals with Jesus. And there must have been something about the way he broke the bread. They were possibly there at the feeding of the 5,000 and saw him break the bread. There was something about the way Jesus did it that touched them. And as the bread was broken, their eyes were opened and they saw that it was Jesus. And so God delayed these disciples from seeing who Jesus is, so that countlessly down the years, every time God's people gather round the communion table and the bread is broken, we will have that opportunity by faith to see that Jesus is alive. And so they saw that it was Jesus. And he disappeared. It's a bit annoying, isn't it? The moment you've just realised who he is and he's gone, you didn't have the chance to grab him and ask all the questions. But now they knew that Jesus was alive. And they began talking again. Because you don't just talk when you're distressed. You talk when you're excited. And they began to think, weren't their hearts all stirred up as that man talked to us? Why didn't we realise? Our hearts were buzzing with excitement of it and the thrill of it and all that he was shown of it. Why didn't we realise that it was Jesus? But that's the way it is. So often it's after the event you look back. And you see, that was Jesus. How did I not know that was Jesus? Why didn't I see that the way that event worked out, the coincidences of it? Why didn't I see that that was Jesus? Why didn't I see that when that person gave me a wee prompt or a wee nudge or a wee rebuke, that that was Jesus? But they realized, as they thought about it, that that was Jesus. He was there all the time. And we didn't realise it. We've got to go and tell folks, because surely that's the big reaction there has to be when you've had this kind of encounter with Jesus. And although they just walked 7 miles down to Emmaus, they just thought, come on, we've got to go back and tell them. And they turned round and walked back the 7 miles. Well, they ran as fast as they could up that road to get back to tell the disciples. They burst in and had a wee bit of my heart attack talking experience where you're gasping to tell your story, and find before they could tell their story, the disciples said, we know, we've seen him, he's been here. And they told their story, and finally, the two of them got to tell their story, blown away by this incredible truth that Jesus Christ was alive, is alive, and will be alive forevermore. Blinded, blinkered, bewildered, blown away. Where are you at in that story this morning? Are you blown away by the fact that Jesus is alive today? And that's something we've got to share and got to tell others about. The big truth of Easter Sunday, that Jesus Christ is alive today and forevermore. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you so much for that amazing, mind-blowing truth that Jesus is alive, that he's there for us in every situation, whether we see it or not. But he is alive and able to come to us and bless and encourage us in our walk with him. So bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen.